Let's do the time slip again. It's Snescapades, a chronological journey through the North American Super Nintendo library with a few pit stops along the way. We play them briefly, we judge them harshly, we rank them. That is pretty much all you need to know. I am Chase Keys.
And I'm ME0.
We're doing this, folks. We have come to the end of November of 1993. We are going to wrap things up. This is our first wrap-up episode where we just kind of talk rapid fire about all the games that we didn't think were interesting enough to talk about in a feature episode.
That's right. That's what we're going to do today. Like Chase said, rapid fire, lightning round sort of situation. Some games we'll probably spend a little more time on than others, but there's some here that don't really, we think, warrant much discussion at all. So, it's, how many games is this? This is what, like 12 games that we've got here?
No, 14. We got 14 games here.
Well, all right then. Because we don't know how long this episode's going to be, you can see how long the episode is, listener, and either this episode is a pretty normal length or it's very long. So, we'll find that out at the end, and you get the benefit of being aware of in some respect how this episode has gone just from looking at that timestamp. So yeah,
this is where we find out if this new format was a good idea. So we'll just get into it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's close out November 93 with a bang and a whimper. And anything in between.
Yeah, and just to let everyone know, or just a reminder, this isn't necessarily like the worst games of the month.
No, it's not.
Yeah, these are just the ones that we just didn't think were really interesting or so outside of our wheelhouse that we don't really feel equipped to talk about them at length. So that's just kind of what's happening. But we are going to start with one pretty bad game. So we had an episode up a little while ago where we talked about ActRaiser 2 and Biometal before we kind of had our shift to Season 2 in the new format. So we've already talked about these a little bit, but since that episode's not up anymore, we want to get into ActRaiser 2 just a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about that just for a few minutes. Yeah, this was the one that nearly broke you, right?
It sure is. I was expecting a game that was not going to be as good as the original ActRaiser, because I already knew, like, the city building stuff is gone from this game. Mm-hmm. But I was still expecting a good platformer, and what I got was so frustrating. And
it's a miserable game. Yeah.
I really couldn't tell, like, is this game really that bad, or am I just tired of video games? Uh-huh. Luckily, I think I've gotten enough confirmation at this point that the game really is just that bad.
Yeah, this is a game that is pretty famously not well-liked by many, many people who have played it. And it's easy to see why. Even though it does have nice graphics, it's just an absolute chore to play. It's pretty much just a game made up of action stages, like the action stages that were in the original ActRaiser, but much harder, much more frustrating. It feels like it is hostile to the person playing it in a way that I didn't enjoy at all. So, I don't see any reason for anyone to want to play this game. If you want what this game is doing, just play a Castlevania game instead. It will be better, and it will give you everything this game can give you, but more. If you want something that's like this but has more going on and fairer stages, then just play original ActRaiser. Yeah. It's unfortunate that that is now such a singular game, but this is a terrible sequel to it. So this is from the same developers as the original ActRaiser, but they seem to have done this almost under a kind of duress, and I think it sort of shows.
It's just, developed by Quintet, just like the original game, published by Enix, just like the original game, or Enix. I think, like, the big takeaway for me was that I sort of compared this game to, like, the cape mechanics in Super Mario World. Like, those mechanics can kind of be a little bit difficult to really wrap your head around, but the game doesn't demand that you get super proficient with it to completely master that game. Right. Like if you want to speed run, then maybe you need to get really proficient at using that cape. But
yeah,
the game kind of leaves that in there as a special thing for people who want to spend the time in there. But like, what if those kinds of mechanics, but like it was essential to just play the game at an absolute basic level, and they were even more frustrating than that cape is in Super Mario World. Mm-hmm. And you've basically got the jumping mechanics in this game. It is unbelievably frustrating. Everything about this game is hostile to the player. It is not fun. And it leaves out like the city sim mechanics, which, you know, gave the original ActRaiser a lot of charm. So yeah, we ranked this game as an F originally. How do you still feel about that ranking?
I stand by that. I think it is an F all day. This is probably the widest gap you can possibly have between a game and its sequel in terms of quality. The original game was an A rank game for us. This is an F.
Yep.
Pretty impressive in its way that it could fall this far.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So moving on, the next one we've got is Biometal. So this one is a shmup. It is a horizontally scrolling shmup. Big two things that make it stand out from the rest of the pack is that it's got the GAM system, which is a set of rotating orbs that surround your ship that you can also use for defense and offense. But the meter that you've got for your GAMs will deplete when they're out. So you have to take your GAMs back in to let them charge back up.
Cover those GAMs right up.
Got to cover those GAMs sometimes. I think that the GAM system is pretty cool. The other thing that I think is slightly less cool is that the game soundtrack features Eurodance sensation 2 Unlimited and some really...
Yeah, it does.
Honestly, some pretty
bad,
uninspired MIDI versions of these tracks.
And not even that many tracks either. Like, they used, like... They repeat a track on a couple of levels.
Yeah.
It's not a good gimmick. I do think that music, which is only in the American version, to be clear, the original Japanese version of this game does not use the 2 Unlimited tracks. It has its own original soundtrack that's just, like, very bland, very, like, what you would expect from this kind of game's music, but not exceptional in any way. So, like, I don't know. Maybe the 2 Unlimited music is more interesting than that, but it's not good. And I think in general, this game is just really, really standard. It's really boring. And maybe the same... ActRaiser 2 was bad, but it's, like, extravagantly bad. This game, in its way, almost was the thing that convinced me that we did really, for my own sake, needed to change the format, as well as your sake, because I had nothing original to say about this that I hadn't already said about numerous other games in this genre. Like, it's just, there's nothing going on here. The GAM system is interesting enough, but it's not as good as, like, the option system from Gradius. It's not as good as any of the stuff that Darius has going on. And, like, the levels are just kind of monotonous, you know? It's like nothing's terrible about them, but they're not that interesting.
Yeah.
And they go on for a little too long. So, yeah.
Yeah. So this one was developed by Athena, published by Activision. We originally ranked this one as a C. I think we probably would have put this one at D tier, but I actually kind of...
Yeah.
I kind of like the GAM system because I do think that it solves a problem that we've had with a lot of shmups on the system, which is that death cycle. You know, you die in the middle of a level, you lose all your power-ups, and now you're left mostly defenseless, and there's no way you're going to be able to progress from there.
That's true. I like the GAM system more than, like, the kind of overly complex power-up system at Phalanx, for example.
Sure.
Like, I do agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, like, the idea of having a weapon that you don't lose but do have to sort of, like, ration out and know when to use it and when to, you know, kind of retract it to let it charge back up is, I think that's a smart idea and a smart way to solve these kinds of problems. I just wish that, like, the actual weapon itself was a little bit more exciting, and I wish that the game just did more than that, because, yeah, like you said, it is a pretty ho-hum game otherwise. So,
yeah.
Are you still okay with C rank, or do you want to make
still
a...
Okay with, No, okay. I'm still okay with C rank. I think that's a compelling enough argument for what is good about this game that I'm happy for it to just sit kind of right in the middle there.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, like, this was one that was genuinely really tough to talk about for like 15 or to 20 minutes.
Yeah. And luckily, because this is a wrap-up episode, we don't have to, and we can move on to Championship Pool.
Woo!
So, you know, there's a good amount of options here for different billiards games, which,
yep.
I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot about billiards games. So
me either, really.
I don't know if that is a thing that matters much to people. It's pretty bare bones for the most part, presentation-wise. Although,
yeah.
When you go into the tournament, there are some very 90s-looking computer-generated images there that...
That's pretty fun. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very 90s in a way that I was like, oh, wow, I like this. Okay, this looks like it was ported from a computer or something.
It probably was. Doesn't this also has a... like an official endorsement from the what is it? It's like the Billiards College, the Billiards Association of North
America. The Billiard Congress of America.
The Billiard Congress of America. So this is the real stuff right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the presentation overall is like a little too staid for my taste. Like there's really not much in the way of like embellishment here, but it's a perfectly fine game of pool. I do think that playing this kind of game for like a length of time, you do start to see why certain sports just stopped being things you could do like a full, you know, game of that you would like sell to people, and like started becoming like mini games and Grand Theft Auto games.
Yeah.
Because it's like there's not enough here really to justify what this is. But it's pretty good at being what it is.
Yeah, it's all right at being what it is. But, you know, I mean, I remember like talking to friends, like high school friends in the aughts on a chat program that probably doesn't even exist anymore, was probably very cheaply made, but like had its own like version of billiards and other like little games that you could play with people as you're chatting.
Right.
Like that was back in the aughts, and that was just like a thing that you could use for free in this free application.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like nobody needs this. You don't need to get out a SNES emulator or your old SNES.
Absolutely not.
Just to play a bespoke pool game this day and age. And honestly, like even as a billiards game, I think that the controls are a little bit wonky.
They're a little confusing to use, definitely.
I'm used to the sort of thing where like you kind of like position the cursor behind the cue ball, and that sort of like determines not only where you want it to go, but how hard you want to hit it. That doesn't really exist here. You move the cursor between the cue ball and where you want it to go, which is a strange way of doing that.
I don't know. It feels like somebody had an idea that made sense to them, but it isn't intuitive. Like it just isn't what I want when I'm trying to visualize this in like kind of the abstract that you have to do for a video game.
You know, it works okay. And I do like the options of like, you know, you can kind of see like how balls are going to ricochet off probably. Although, you know, like it's not always going to go the way that it says it's going to go. You know, it's all right. It does what it says on the tin, I guess. So how do we rank this one?
I mean, I guess the question is, do we rank this one? Because we can. That's the thing with this. We can rank this in a way that I don't think we can rank some of the sports games coming up, because we can understand this. I don't know. I'm tempted to just stick it in C because it's so just right in the middle, but maybe it's a D, honestly, because it, like, even for being as simple as it is, it could be doing what it's doing better, right?
I mean, my thinking is like it's a C because it's a perfectly competent thing, but like why, you know, like it moves down to D. It moves down the D on the basis of why, you know, like, why would you do this?
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Would you play this?
It's like, why is this here? And why would I want this? So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think D is where I would stick this one.
Okay, so that is going to be in the D tier. International Tennis Tour, is that the next one?
That is the next one.
So this one is developed by Lauricel, published by Taito.
And this one I actually kind of like. Like, I think it's bright and colorful, and the way it controls is pretty snappy. In a way that I almost like this. Like, it's almost on the edge of being, like, arcadey enough that I can get into it in the way I could get into, like, a Mario Tennis. But I don't know. Like, it's a little too unforgiving, and it's a little bit... Like, I wish that, like, there was a little more, like, differentiation in, like, the models for, like, the different, like, characters you can play as. Because, yeah, like, there's just not really a ton to that. But I don't know. I didn't dislike this one. I you know, was on the edge of being like, no, this is actually pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I thought this was perfectly fine. You know, I wasn't expecting much out of this, but, you know, I kind of got into it and I was like, yeah, this is a completely fine tennis game. I'm having fun, I think. But yeah, presentation wise, like, there's nothing wrong with it, but I don't know. We've just seen so many sports games on the system at this point.
We see a lot of tennis games that are pretty similar to this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Do I get a cool jacket? Not really. So,
no, I mean, the cool jacket, I think that cool jacket ruined a lot of these other tennis games for us.
Yeah, honestly, it might have. You know? Even though, like, this is probably a better tennis game than that is.
No, it's definitely a better tennis game than the one that had the cool jacket. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I played this for a little while, and then I was like, okay, I don't really think I care enough about this to, like, learn how to, like, move well enough to get better at it, you know?
I think we both had fun with it for, you know, our limited amount of time with it.
We did have fun with it, yeah. No, like I said, this is getting into kind of almost like Mario Tennis like territory, which for a tennis game is where I want it to be for me to actually be able to get into it. So yeah, I had fun with this, definitely.
So I think, like, Jimmy Connors was the one that had the jacket, and I think the jacket kept it out of F tier, and it's in the D tier now. I'd be okay with putting this one in C tier if you're cool with that.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Okay. I think for two people who do not care about tennis and sports in general to say, oh, I had some fun playing this for 15 minutes or so on the Super Nintendo, I think that says something, that, you know, that keeps it from being like D tier. All right, then moving on, we've got Lamborghini American Challenge.
Who made this one?
This was made by Titus Interactive, who and I believe Titus published it as well.
Okay.
I don't understand what this game is going for. Like, is this like a weird post-apocalyptic Mad Max racing game, or is it just a regular
maybe
racing game? I can't.
So the name Lamborghini American Challenge does not really prepare you for what is going to happen in this, for what this game is putting down. That makes it sound like it's some kind of like realistic sports racing game. And that's not what this is. So I'm going to say right off the bat here, we may have made a mistake. This game, I think, could have been a featured episode game. I played this for as long as I've played most of the games that we did featured episode things about. This month.
This is the one.
This is the one. I like this game.
Okay. That's interesting. I would not have pegged this to be the one. Okay.
So this game's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a competent racing game. It's got like some betting mechanics that make things kind of interesting, but I'll be honest. I thought this one was a little bit too bland for me outside of, like, you know, the sort of accoutrement around the racers themselves that I didn't think too highly of this one, but tell me what you like about this one.
Okay. So there are some aesthetic things I like about this one. Mm-hmm. I love that this is, as far as I can tell, the only Super Nintendo game that lets you play as a lesbian with a flock of seagulls haircut named Pam. And race and bet on your races against clowns and Mad Max guys and ninjas. Good times there. But there's some mechanical stuff here that I actually also think is pretty neat. So did you play any of the game, any of the levels where the police show up?
I did not.
To just sort of be a little bit more kind of high level about what this game is. It's a very Top Gear style kind of arcadey racing game. The racing itself, the driving is not as good as Top Gear by like a decent bit. I'm aware of that. It's, you know, a little simpler. There's not as many cars on the field, but you can bet on your races with the other, you know, computer contestants in the races, the other drivers. And, you know, it is like a proper like betting system where you can like raise each other's bets. And, I eventually got to a point where I was doing these races where I was betting most of my money on the race. And then there are races like the one I am talking about here where I had bet most of my money, where the police can show up and start interfering with you. And the regular racing against the other contestants isn't that interesting. But when you're really trying to get to the front of the pack and you're trying to like weave between police cars, so that you can do that, because otherwise you will go bankrupt. That's a hook. Like, that's a really actually something that felt compelling to me in this game, and I wish there was more of it. Like, there are a lot of the starting races do not have that wrinkle, but that by itself is I think a really good thing that this game has going on. Another thing that's kind of interesting is that this game will also eventually give you pretty differently scoped racetracks. Like, there's one that's like the, hilariously, it's called Miami, even though you can see like mountains in the background, and like, you know, Florida is like the flattest place in America. So, that one's on a really narrow race course where it's actually really hard to get around other cars. And that is actually something I don't remember Top Gear ever doing.
Okay.
So yeah, this game has some stuff going on that I think is really fun. I like the presentation. The music is not good. The music, there is like basically one track that gets used for all the races. So that is not really good. I like this game. I don't think it's as good as either of the Top Gears, but I think it is a pretty compelling alternative to them as a Super Nintendo racing game.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, I really didn't spend a lot of time with this one, but, you know, I will say, you know, Pam stood out to me. Like, she's the first, you know, selectable racer that you see. And yeah, like,
it's a really good character portrait. Like, she just looks really intense.
Yeah, she looks great. And like she looks so much more interesting than any of the other characters there that, like, yeah, that was the character I gravitated towards as well. So, you know, we've got, you know, possibly lesbian protagonist, and also this game says ACAB. Maybe I didn't give it a fair shake. Maybe this game's all right.
Yeah, who can say? Yeah. But anyway, my feeling on this was that it was a B-rank game. Okay. Just because the things I mentioned do put it, you know, low enough below like the best of the best that I wouldn't say it's one of those. But yeah, I think that, you know, if you dig a little bit into this one, it's really got some fun stuff going on.
Okay. I'm totally okay deferring to you on this one, because I didn't spend a lot of time with it. So if you say this is a B ranked game, I'm totally okay with taking your word on that and putting it in B rank.
Yep. That's where I would place it. So,
okay. Lamborghini American Challenge B. Well done. Congratulations. Next up, we've got the Stanley Cup, NHL Stanley Cup. This one looks fine. This one, published by Nintendo, developed by Sculptured Software.
So I guess this is like the same group of folks who made the NCAA game we liked, right? It looks a lot like it.
Yeah, the basketball game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does have a very similar kind of look to it, except that, like, they actually have an audience.
Right, and it's doing that really aggressive use of Mode 7 that we liked in that game. I think this is technically a pretty impressive game, as befitting something that, like, Nintendo was publishing themselves. I have a very low ceiling on how much interest I can have in it, because it is at the end of the day still a you know, like a hockey sim, but
yeah,
it's impressive for what it is.
Yeah, I find like hockey, you know, like when trying to translate that to a video game, I find the controls a bit clunkier than I do with your average basketball game.
Uh-huh.
Which is weird because, like, you know, mechanically they're kind of similar, but
yeah, I kind of get what you mean. It feels, I don't know, it's like there's like too many different things you could do with the puck on the ground or something. I'm not sure what it is about it, but I kind of agree. I think the mode 7 here actually does help the game be more readable than some of the other hockey games we played. But I found it pretty hard to do a lot in this game.
Yeah. I don't know. Do we just want to put this one in the U for unranked? And
I think we do. I think that I'm not really qualified to tell whether this is a good hockey game or not. But I do think it's like a pretty impressive technical feat. So
yeah, I'll give it that. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't really have a good way to really tell you if this is a good one of these or not. So NHL Stanley Cup is going to be unranked. It is in the U tier. Sorry, Stanley. We just don't know enough about hockey, I'm afraid.
We will not drink from this cup today. Yeah.
Next up, I believe, is Steel Talons.
Yes, Steel Talons. That's next.
I'll be honest, this is the one that maybe surprised me the most. I was expecting to completely bounce off of this one, but I actually found myself kind of putting in a little bit of time with this and being like, This is okay. This is all right. Like, it's still a military helicopter flight sim kind of thing. And it's, you know, I can only be too interested in it, but
I think the trick here is that it's a very simple one of those.
Yeah. It's easy to control. All the controls are laid out for you in the menu. You've got a HUD that gives you pretty much all the information you need to play the game efficiently. I was pretty impressed by this one. Like graphically speaking, it's pretty good. Like all the objects are kind of rendered in 3D pretty well for a game that I don't think is using the FX chip.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is a port of an arcade game from Atari. This is developed by Atari, published by this version was published by Left Field Productions, who I don't think I've ever heard of before.
No, me either. I saw that name and I was like, what?
They got a wild logo.
Yeah, definitely. but yeah, I agree, actually. I think this one surprised me, too. It actually kind of reminds me of the all range mode battles from Star Fox 64. Sure. That's the thing that kind of kept coming to mind here. For what this is, it is actually pretty impressive. I do not think it looks attractive, but I don't know that you'd really say that about like any games that are kind of in this general space on the Super Nintendo. But yeah, it plays like pretty well. It's pretty easy to follow objectives and understand what's going on. And yeah, like, it was better than I expected it to be too. Definitely.
Yeah. Also, this thing came out on, this was an arcade game. Like I said, it got ported to a lot of things like the Genesis and the Atari Falcon, which was, I think, this does not.
What was that?
Yeah, this doesn't happen very often, but this was a time when I saw a system that I was like, I've never heard of that before. Apparently, it was just like a one of the last versions, or maybe the last version of the Atari ST to come out, and it got its own bespoke name or whatever. But yeah,
So
a more advanced Atari ST. It came out in 92, I guess. So you know, kind of late.
Well, hey, you know, it's a Falcon. It's got to have talents.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Also, came out on the Atari Lynx for some reason. Well, I guess Atari developed it, so why wouldn't they?
Why not, right? Yeah. If I have a criticism of this game, like, overall, I think the music sounds like it is from, like, an early Atari game. Like, it's very, like, bloop, bloop, bleep.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, I would not feel like would not be out of place on, like, the, like the, I don't know, actually. Did 2600 games have music? I can't remember. I feel like no.
Well, but, yeah. I mean, like, unless you want to count games like Pitfall that, you know, would occasionally do, you know, like the Tarzan yell or whatever.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But no, like, yeah, Steel Talons, I think was, you know, they, you know, seemingly put a lot of effort into this game. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, kind of impressive.
Yeah. So where are we thinking for the ranking on this one?
I was sort of on the B, C line, but I don't know, like, do you have a feeling? I think you kind of vibed with this one a little more than me, actually. So
what is your... I still don't know if I would put it in B tier. I don't know if it's quite that good.
Uh-huh.
C plus, maybe, if we were going to do that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I would be happy putting this in C, personally.
So yeah, congratulations, Steel Talons. You impressed us. You impressed us. A game that did not impress me, that also deals with military vehicles, Super Battleship. Synergistic Software, published by Mindscape. Why would you ever purchase a battleship video game? Like, the board game...
Yeah.
Is not expensive and is more fun than this.
Much more fun. It's much more fun sitting. It's a game designed for you to sit across from somebody and have like secrets that they can't see because of the game board, you know, having like a big wall in the middle of it. It's a compelling physical object that nothing about this game manages to replicate.
Yep, this is a one-player only game, Super Battleship. It's got two versions of a game in there. There's your what they call classic battleship, which is, you know, like the board game, which contains a ship that only takes up one square. Why would you ever do that?
That's a crime. It's a sin. It shouldn't happen. It should not be like that.
That is so, oh my god.
I hate it so much. Yeah.
There's also a game that's, you know, maybe a little bit better suited to a video game platform, but it's a pretty bare bones and very slowly paced strategy game, and I don't think that redeems this thing.
Nope. I have one. So okay, I took notes on all of these games, and this is the only game I have only one note for, and that note is this: I understand why this exists, but it should not exist.
Yeah. So, you know, I did a similar thing. I've got like pros and cons. I did not write down any pros for this one. And I think this is the only game that has that. So I think this is an F tier game.
Yeah, this is an F tier all the way.
Yep. Nothing super about this battleship.
Definitely not. This is where I'm at. I would rather watch the movie Battleship than play this game anymore.
Oh, wow.
And I don't like that movie. That movie sucks out loud.
I can't believe that they made a movie. I can't believe that, like, they can't just be satisfied with being a very good and, you know, like, enduring board game. Like, that's not good enough.
Yeah,
I know. We have to try and make this thing into something that it should not be. Stop that.
Yeah. Please stop that. Please stop.
Anyway, I don't think we need to talk anymore about Super Battleship.
Nope.
How about Super Putty?
How about Super Putty? About Super Putty?
This might be one of the most bizarre things that we've talked about on this system yet, honestly.
Yeah, it's really strange for sure. From the look to the mechanics to just the overall vibe, it's just odd.
I feel like this is a game that some British company, possibly folks at System 3 Software, somehow found out about Future You not liking Euro games and just said, okay, well, here's something. We're just going to do this to you.
Yeah, this game feels like an attack on me personally. Because it's got those horrible googly eyed Eurogame characters. It's got that kind of too shiny Amiga look to the graphics. It's got that music that just feels like Eurogame, like it feels like an Amiga game, even though I assume this was on Amiga at some point.
I believe so. Yeah.
Here's a note I have for this one. love to be menaced by off-brand Fry Kids. Because that's what some of the enemies in this thing look like to me. And, I just could not with it.
I think I wrote something along the lines of, like, despite having what's ostensibly a training level, I don't understand why anything's happening. Why am I absorbing babies? Nope. Why did a cat just pop up in the middle of the screen to chide me about something? What is happening?
Uh-huh.
So I will try to explain this as quickly as I can.
Please do.
So you are a blob of putty, like you might expect, who can bounce around. You can stretch vertically or horizontally. When you stretch up, sometimes you can reach platforms that way. Though you can also just jump, so I don't know how useful that is. You can punch. You can also melt into a puddle, which will let you absorb certain things, like robots that you have to get to safety, which is the main sort of hook of the stages. You have to find the robots,
right,
absorb them into your putty body, and then release them once you've reached the goal. But you can also absorb enemies, which just get absorbed and go away, I guess, which turn into babies when you punch them for some reason. I don't know what on earth they were thinking there. That's a really weird thing to do.
This is the most confusingly laid out, like, puzzle platformer I think I've ever seen.
It's doing too much. Your character has too many verbs for a game like this.
Definitely.
I think that is the big thing. Like, trim down the verb list a bit and focus on making good gameplay around a few things that this character can do. This feels too over-designed to me.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. This one was tough for me to spend any time with at all, but I did spend some time with it to try to get my head around what it was doing. And I guess I did, but I don't think that really helped me like it anymore.
Yeah, it's really weird, and I like weird stuff, so, like, I can't put it in F tier, but
no,
I don't know if it goes much.
I think it would be unfair to put this in F tier, because it's not really doing anything, like, egregiously wrong. It's just, like, such a mess, you know?
Yeah, like a bunch of putty just all over the floor. Like, who's gonna clean that up now? I'm not gonna clean that up.
Not gonna be me.
So, are we thinking D tier for this one?
Yeah, probably. Probably D. I could be persuaded to go to C with this one. Not the ocean, but the rank C. I could be persuaded to put this in C tier. If you think that it's doing enough right, I think that I am battling just kind of an aesthetic repulsion to it that may be what's putting it in D for me. And I don't know that that's fair to it either.
Like, I don't hate the aesthetic that much, but for me, like, this game is doing something wrong by being like having a character that is so over-designed. And I think the amount of things that this character can do actively hurt the game, and I think that they should have focused on gameplay around one or two of those features instead, and to make the game less complex. But I think you can just do more that way. You know, I think you can do more with the game that way when you've got a more limited moveset and you're going to design the game around that moveset. I think it's actively bad that they gave the character this many different abilities right from the get-go.
Yeah, hard agreement from me. Very much so.
Yeah, I think I will put this in D tier if you're good with that.
All right. That's good for me, yeah.
So, yeah, it was too aggressively Eurogame visually for you to want to put it in C tier, and it's just too much of a complex mess for me to want to put it in C tier. So, D tier it goes. Next up, we've got Tecmo Super Bowl. It sure is an American football game.
Yep, it's Tecmo Bowl. It's like this to me, aside from the fact that it has more colors and some more kind of elaborate animations for things like the coin toss at the beginning and stuff, this looks pretty indistinguishable from, like, NES Tecmo Bowl to me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I will say, like,
that's not a bad thing necessarily. I mean, people love Tecmo Bowl.
I almost kind of respect the simplicity here in a way. And of course, you know, this always runs into the problem of like, you know, it's American football. I don't really care about American football. I don't find it interesting.
Yeah.
I do like any sports game that gives me a computer versus computer option so that I can kind of get a look at what the game is doing without having to play it myself.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, I did play a little bit of it. It worked okay. Like, the playbook is pretty readable. The plays went off pretty much like I would expect. It's simple, and maybe that's not a terrible thing.
No, I actually do respect that as well. Yeah, I think football can be so, like, hard to parse if you're not, like, already a fan of it, that I respect any game that uses sort of simplicity to make it more readable. So yeah, for sure.
They also let you play as a coach, which I did not mess around with, but I imagine it just has you like picking plays out of the playbook, but then like the computer takes over for you at that point.
I assume that's what it does. I didn't spend any time with that either.
I don't know. Do we think we can rank this one, or is this another you rank?
So I'm trying to remember, is this the first Tecmo Bowl game on the Super Nintendo?
I feel like there's been something.
I feel like there's been one before, right?
Yeah. Oh, Tecmo Super NBA Basketball, which is in the B tier right now.
So I don't know. We could probably rank this. Like, yeah, it's football, but it's football boiled down to a simple enough thing that I don't feel like I'm just kind of, you know, lost in the wilderness with it. I don't have a tremendous amount of feeling about this one way or another. Would you rather see this ranked? Because, like, I think of all the football games we played, this was easily the most playable for me.
Definitely one of the more playable ones that I can remember that aren't just, you know, kind of like mashing up all together in my head right now. I'm trying to think if we've got like a lot of football games ranked right now or if they're mostly in the unranked category.
Looking at it, I think they may pretty much all be in the unranked category at this point.
I don't know. Like, I could put this in C tier because it's a perfectly, you know, accessible football game, even for people like us, because uh-huh. You know, we managed to get a little bit of time in with it.
Sure.
Or I could put it in unranked because honestly, I'm probably not going to go back to it and I didn't spend a ton of time with it. So
yeah,
I don't know. I could go either way.
Let's put it in C tier. Let's just go ahead and do it.
Okay. All righty. Tecmo Super Bowl. You made it in. You made it in there.
Skin of your teeth, but you did it.
Let's see what we got next. Oh, folks.
Da, 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 da.
We've got a rule here. Only one Terminator game per month. So Terminator 2 Judgment Day, great game, but just, you know, not as good as RoboCop versus Terminator. I'm lying, of course. This was awful.
This was a terrible game. This is probably straight up the worst game that we have for the entire month.
Yeah, this might be.
It's really bad. I mean, just like the first level of this is just like a warren of endless identical rooms that you're searching through for like no clear end goal, and also like with endless streams of enemies coming at you that you can throw like the weakest little punch at.
Yeah, you're the freaking Terminator. Why do all your attacks suck so much right out of the gate? You're the Terminator. What is happening here?
You're the Terminator. I don't know. There's a gun in this level that you can get, but it's pretty hard to find.
Yeah, like, one of the objectives is obtain shotgun. I beat up a guy with a shotgun, and somehow that did not get me a shotgun. I'm like, what? What is...
I don't know. Guy with a shotgun is a normal enemy type in this level. You will see him in, like, almost every room. And yeah, you can't have that shotgun, though. You gotta go through all these, like, confusingly laid out... like rooms that like, why are there so many rooms in this roadhouse? Like, it's so big. It's like an eldritch, like extra dimensional space.
Yeah. Well, that might explain why like all these randos are able to beat up a freaking Terminator. Apparently they're eldritch horrors.
Yeah.
I will say this game has one good thing going for it. All right. Like, yeah, when I said, you know, earlier with Super Battleship, I had no pros in there. I do have one pro here for Terminator 2.
What is it? What's the pro?
The Terminator sprite looks like Hank Hill, and that makes me giggle.
Yeah, it does. It just does. He looks exactly like a side-on profile shot of Hank Hill wearing a leather jacket.
Yeah, like, complete with, like, kind of, like, just, like, schlubby posture. And, yeah. You know, like, he just...
Yeah. Like, did the people who made this game have, like, a grudge against Arnold Schwarzenegger? Like, I don't know, but, yeah, it just... The tragedy is that I've discovered I don't think I can do a Hank Hill voice very well at all, but I kept trying out different Terminator lines as Hank Hill, and, like, God, it's the funniest thing in the world.
I'll tell you what, you better give me them boots and that jacket or I'll kick your ass.
That's pretty good.
Damn it, Bobby, come with me if you want to live. I could do this all day.
Very, very good. Hank Hill Terminator is the best thing about this game by a really huge margin. It is a delightful thing. We didn't mention it, but this is an LJN game. I think it has a lot of the same kinds of problems that LJN games frequently have, where, like, the people making them clearly had some ideas, but absolutely no ability to pull them off. Like, I think that they probably wanted this to be, like, an interesting, like, explorable space. And, you know, you can take a lot of hits. Like, that's very Terminator-ish. But, yeah, the only thing they did manage to pull off here was this wonderfully strange, like, Hank Hill in a Halloween costume character sprite. So, yeah.
I have to be honest. Like, this was developed by Bits Limited. I just got the feeling that, like, LJN said, hey, Terminator 2, we need a game in, like, a couple months. And they were like, yep. Okay, here you go. I guess here's the game.
It feels like it. It sure does.
Yeah. This one is pretty easily an F tier game for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Terminator hasn't been doing great on the Super Nintendo, with the exception of the one where he's the bad guy against RoboCop. So
the extreme shock of how good RoboCop versus the Terminator was, I think, is even greater when you look at the Terminator solo game that came out the same month. So, yeah, play these games back to back and have a wild time. Or don't.
Yeah.
Please don't play this game.
I mean, like, I think that, like, yeah, like, RoboCop 3, Terminator, and Terminator 2 are all in the F tier.
Yeah, they're all terrible. Terrible games.
Game that's slightly less horrible?
Yeah.
Maybe a bit less horrible. Time Slip.
Yeah, Time Slip.
Sales Curve, published by Vic Takai. This is a pretty ho-hum little run-and-gun game, I guess. It's fine.
Kind of Contra-ish. It has a look to it that makes it feel like it should be based on, like, some forgotten, like, Valiant or Malibu comic. But it's not. It's just an original thing. But it does have, like, a very, like, you know, B or C level, you know, 90s comic book art style. And hilariously, in the, like, opening, like, splash screen for the game when it starts up, I think the guy you play as, doesn't he have some kind of crazy name too? He looks like a bad drawing of Jeremy Renner. Like, I think that, like, if the video game movie boom that we're in right now goes on long enough for somebody to dig up Time Slip, they need to cast him as this guy.
I'm looking through the instruction manual really quick, and I'm actually not seeing.
Yeah. Here it is. Dr. Vincent Gilgamesh.
Oh, right. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Dr. Vincent Gilgamesh.
He's a doctor. Don't forget that.
He didn't get a PhD in timeology to be called Mr.
Nope.
To be called Mr. Gilgamesh.
That's right. Show him the respect he deserves. I don't know. It's perfectly okay. It's like if you had a Contra game, but with no set pieces, basically, is sort of what you've got here. You know?
Yeah.
And, like, unfortunately, I think Contra-style games get a lot of their juice out of the big set pieces and, like, mid-level, like, stage transformations and stuff and things like that. you know, it's a game that I think really, you know, suffers if the levels are too monotonous. And these levels are actually kind of monotonous. The bosses tend to be really bullet spongy.
There's
a lot of things. The second level has a bunch of stuff where there's just like these endless waves of like enemies that you can, I mean, they're not actually quite endless because you can move through them by like just continuing to shoot, but it's pretty tedious. And yeah, like, I don't know, it's all right, but it's not, there's not a lot to it that I would point to and be like, oh yeah, that's something this game's doing really well.
Yeah. Also, like, the mechanics of this game are a little confusing. Like, you pick up weapons, but I'm not entirely sure how they all work. Like, your bullets level up, but I don't always see like an appreciable difference between the levels. And yeah, like you said, like bosses and even just some of the more common enemies are really bullet spongy, and like enemy and level design for this just feels like the designers confused challenge for something that takes a long time. And
yeah. 'Cause none of it's like challenging. It's just very sloggy. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I don't know. What do you think of this one? I could almost see it going in C tier, but I don't know if it's that good.
I think it's on the line of C and D, and I would honestly put it in D probably, just because I don't think there's anything. I think this is maybe a couple of jots up from like Skulljagger, but you know, that's like the best I can really say about it.
Skulljagger has pirates with magical bubblegum. I mean, what does this game have?
And also, this game does not come with like a 60-page like storybook detailing the world and lore of Dr. Vincent Gilgamesh.
Yeah, no, it just says, hey, it's the future, the Termations are invading, and so Dr. Vincent Gilgamesh goes back in time to stop them.
Yep. That's what happens.
Yeah, that's it. That's what you get. All right. Well, let's see here. Moving right along, we are just about done. We've got Tony Miola's Sidekicks Soccer. By Sculptured Software, published by Electrobrain.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It seemed fine. It's fine.
It's fine. It's an okay soccer game. I like the way this game sort of visualizes passing the ball. Like, you get a little red dot. If you're controlling the player with the ball, you get a little red dot above the head of any player you can pass to. And that combined with like the pretty smooth Mode 7 here, these graphics are a lot simpler than the ones in NHL Stanley Cup. But they're easy to read, and I like that it seems to facilitate making the act of like passing and like moving the ball around the field easier. So I respect that about it. But it's like there's not really much in the way of personality to this compared to, frankly, any of the other sports games we've played today. Despite the fact that this has an endorsement from a particular player. I don't know. What did you think of this? Did you like playing this?
I don't know. It's fine. I'm pretty indifferent to soccer, like, you know, most sports. I will say you didn't find that all of the ads bringing a lot of life to this game. You know, we had like Foot Locker and Adidas in there.
Oh, that's true. I guess that's sort of unusual for a game of this vintage, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good thing, but
yeah, no, it sure is there. I'll tell you one thing I did actually really like in this game. So the menus for this, I think, can be a little confusing. They're completely pictorial. Like, there's no, like, explanation of what anything is. That's annoying. But one thing I very much liked is that if you go into the menu to select, you know, the game type, you get some options for, like, human versus computer, computer versus computer, and human versus human. And these are depicted with little boxes that show either a guy scowling at another guy, a guy scowling at a robot, or two robots scowling at each other. And that's very fun to me.
Yeah. I also found like the pictographic nature of the menus to be a little bit weird, but some of those were funny and you know, like I was like, oh, I see what you're doing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It's fine, but
I'll tell you what I did playing this. I spent a lot of time just drifting off, thinking about how I wish that a new Final Fantasy game would bring back Blitzball. Because, like, playing this reminded me just barely enough of Blitzball that I was like, you know, they bring the card game back in a bunch of the newer ones, but they could bring back Blitzball some way, and I wouldn't be mad at it. And the fact that I had more thoughts about that than I did about this game that I was playing probably isn't a great sign for it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, do we even rank this one? We could just put it in U-Rank.
I wouldn't. I would put it in unranked because, yeah, I don't feel like I have enough feelings about this one to you know, grade it versus other games.
All right. So sorry, Tony Miola, whoever you are. Presumably you are some kind of soccerman.
Whoever you are, yeah.
Or, sorry, footballer, if you're international like that, yeah.
Sure.
Yep, so that's going to go in the unranked category. And that brings us to our final game for the month. We're back, A Dinosaur's Story. This is by Visual Concepts, published by High Tech Expressions. also, new rule, only one dinosaur game per month, and Jurassic Park got that one.
That's right, yeah.
This is based on a movie that I think actually came out for...
It's a movie that I think almost no one remembers.
The game opens with, like, a dinosaur talking to a scientist, and I'm like, is this really what this movie was?
I looked it up, and that is what this movie was, apparently. So I was reading about this movie because I've always been very confused by this thing. Like, I remember this movie existing. I'm not sure I ever saw it, but I may have, and I just don't remember it because it does not seem like a very memorable movie. It is based on a children's book from the late 80s, and it seems like a lot of people tried to work on this movie. A lot of people put effort into this movie, and it just ended up being like a soup of different like ideas that did not really amount to much. But yeah, it's like this scientist and his alien friend, a scientist named Dr. New Eyes, essentially like abducts several dinosaurs from the distant past and feeds them cereal that makes their brains grow so they become like sentient, and then just kind of sets them loose in the modern day so that modern day people can like learn about dinosaurs. And then the scientist's brother, Dr. Screw Eyes, got it? New Eyes and Screw Eyes.
Okay, but like, these are their last names, though. They're brothers. They should have the same. Okay, it's fine. It's fine.
Yes, that's true. They should have.
Completely ruins my suspension of disbelief.
This is the thing that ruins your suspension of disbelief, yeah. Like, kidnaps the dinosaurs and forces them to work in a carnival? But then some orphans save the dinosaurs, and that's the movie.
Okay, well,
I don't get it. I don't get any of this. And there are two totally different games based on this movie, a Super Nintendo and a Genesis one. Okay. In the Genesis one, you just play as the orphans. You don't even get to play as the dinosaurs in that one. And it's like, what is even the point? If you gotta have a thing like this, just let me play as the dinosaur.
But I don't know. Playing this game, you play as a dinosaur, but like you don't do dinosaur things.
You do not.
You're like just walking around throwing rocks at people.
Yeah, I love being this Tyrannosaurus, this absolutely enormous Tyrannosaurus sprite. I love being him and non-fatally bouncing on the heads of little like cartoon bank robber guys in New York City.
Yeah, this game is real dumb. I guess you get a tail attack once you've collected enough brain grain formula, according to
brain grain. That's the cereal that makes the dinosaurs smart. And then at some point, Dr. Screw Eyes feeds the orphans brain drain to turn them into chimpanzees. So the dinosaurs agree to eat the brain drain and become stupid beasts that will work for Dr. Screw Eyes and his carnival. If he'll return the kids to normal. And then the kids have to save the dinosaurs. This is the movie. This is the whole thing.
I mean, he could have just made the orphans watch this movie and they'd have gotten dumber from the sound of it.
Yeah, right?
Oh, what a ridiculous sounding movie. Anyway, this is kind of the game it deserves, I guess. Like, your sprite's too big, the levels are flat, it's hard to tell what's a platform and what isn't. Yeah, this game is it's a 2D platformer. It's not a very good one on a system that's got some really, really great 2D platformers. So
yep.
It really just makes you wonder, why did anyone even bother with this?
No, I don't know either. This game's maybe a little better than I originally thought it was, largely because the Tyrannosaurus you're playing as can climb buildings in a way that I don't think looks like physically plausible at all. He just sort of like shimmies up them with his little hands. But that's one of the only things I can really say positively about this game. Like, that sprite for him is way too big. The level designs are kind of insipid. And the music sucks. The music is dreadful.
Yeah. This whole thing is pretty awful. And the thing is, like, it's good enough that I feel like I shouldn't put it in F tier. But also, like, there's just so many infinitely better 2D platformers than this that, like,
yeah,
why wouldn't I put this in F tier? So I don't know. Where do you think this one ought to go?
I think I would put this one in D, personally.
D? Okay.
Just because I don't think there's anything so aggressively bad about it that I think F is like four games that have something really, truly wrong with them.
Okay.
And like, this game is not special. It's not interesting in any way. I don't think anybody needs to play this. But I don't think I would put like a big warning sign over it that says stay away.
Okay.
Like I would for the stuff that's in F, you know?
Okay. Fair enough. And with that, folks, we've done it. We've gotten through all the leftovers for November of 1993.
I feel good about this. I feel good about all of these. I think we frankly said everything that needed to be said about any of these games. And yeah, I am pleased to see that even with the various bits where we had to stop and start for various things, we are at a pretty normal length for this episode. So yeah, hey, guess what, guys? I think this is a viable format for the show.
Yep, I think so too. So I think we're going to stick with it. So hope you all enjoyed it. We'll have a Playing with Power episode next time around. And yeah, we will. See you then.
Well, until next time, I'm Emmy Zero.
I'm Chase Keys.
Play it loud.
And eat your brain grains. Or do not.
Don't be cursed with knowledge.
As Peggy might say in her Spanish class, hasta la vista, baby.
That's so good.
Thanks.
That's so good.